We left off last week. We're discussing both in terms of the Makom Anachas Tefillin and which is the correct arm to put on Tefillin. We also began to speak a little bit about the Hilchas Chatzitz and Tefillin. If a person has a separation, a break between where the Bayis is and the Ritzuah, so how much is that a problem in terms of Hilchas Tefillin? So both of these aspects of Halacha now, since collide together, we deal with a whole series of shailas that come up, really medical shailas, in terms of a person who cannot wear tefillin in a normal fashion due to a variety of different medical problems. So let's just try to analyze some of these basic questions that come up in terms of cast, in terms of a person who paralysis and arm strokes, things of that nature. How do those kinds of things affect Hilchos Tefillin? So we mentioned last week that there was Machlokes HaRishonim, can a person put tefillin on when there's a chatzitza, when there's something which is separated between his arm and the tefillin. So this could happen, a person has a cast, a bandage or something, is that a problem or not? So we mentioned at the end of the shiur last week that since it's a Machlokes HaRishonim, so therefore we tell the person to put the tefillin on, you have nothing to lose by putting the tefillin on, but in terms of reciting a bracha, so we would have to say that one cannot recite a bracha. So if a person has, say, a bandage all the way up to the top of his shoulder, so we would recommend that he put the tefillin on anyway. We said last week for the Magen Avraham, he should cover over the tefillin. We said last week he should put the tefillin on anyway, or if he has a bandage on his head, if he's able to medically, he should put the tefillin on, albeit he wouldn't recite the regular bracha on that tefillin. What if you have a common situation where a person is able to put tefillin on his arm, but the ritzuos, there's going to be a problem of chatzitza. He has a lower bandage, and then if he broke his wrist or something, so now he has to put the ritzuos over a bandage. So here the post can tell us that would not be a problem. That technically speaking, the halacha that there's a problem of chatzitza by tefillin, that only applies to the makom habayis, or to the top ritzuos, the part that actually keeps the tefillin in place. But all the subsequent ritzuos, technically speaking, you don't really need them. It's me'ikra din, one fulfills the mitzvah of tefillin. And if you tie the bias on and you go around once or twice, so it's not going anywhere. As long as the bias has been komo, so then if you want to be lazy and not bother tying the rest of your ritzuos on, just leave them dangling, so it's not the nicest thing to do. But technically, you would fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin. So therefore, since you don't really need the subsequent ritzuos, so that wouldn't pose a problem of chatzitza. So if a person has a broken wrist, broken fingers, and other things of that nature, so just put the ritzuos over and don't worry about it. So based on that, I saw people getting around the watch already. Me'ikra din, really, you can put the ritzuos over a watch. Really, the me'ikra din, there's nothing wrong with that. But still, that's not a minig yisrael, is not doing that. That's a tasnish to put the tefillin over, to put the ritzuos over a watch. But me'ikra din, it's not really a problem.
Again,
it would be the same issue that we assume that there is a chashash of chatzitza both for the bayis and for everything that's an integral part of the tefillin. So the ritzuos are integral, the kesher is an integral part as well. But if you have a ritzuosa hanging down over your shirt, that's not called a chatzitza, because that's not really that anyway.
It's not nice to put the ritzuos even around the watch. I've seen people with their watch in between ritzuos. You're saying that's not nice either.
Yeah, but you're going to have to, at some point, go over.
Well, you can go over it, but it doesn't actually lie on top of it.
Well, it's got it.
Only for a small piece.
It's got it.
Only for a time.
Yeah, for that. So that little part. Actually, yeah, that little part is going to be. Again, it's not mikra din, but the minhag Yisrael seems to have been not to do that. The shailas in terms of medical issues, in terms of the arm, become a little bit more complicated. What if a...
wedding band.
Yeah, the wedding band are ready to minigit. I don't think people take off their rings for... I don't know if people do. I don't wear a wedding band. But most people, I think, put them over the ring. No, people take their rings off? I don't know. Okay, so the same thing. Okay. The poskim quote is lulav of all places. The poskim quote is lulav. One should take off one's rings before one shakes lulav. There's a chumrah. It's a lechatchil. It's not ma'akev. You don't do it. He's still yotzei the mitzvah. But there's a din lechatchil that's quoted by the Ramban. Uchas lulav. One should take off a ring before one shakes a lulav. It shouldn't be a shail of a chatzitza. Anyway, but again, it's not ma'akev there either. So getting back to this discussion, what would the halacha be in the following case? What if a person has an arm, physically speaking, the left arm is still connected to his body, but there's something drastically wrong with an arm medically? Can we say at some point that the arm is not considered to be there? It's command the lace. It's like if it's not functioning totally as an arm, so it doesn't exist. And then putting tefillin on such a limb would be like putting tefillin in thin air. So is there such a category in halacha? So the earlier post, Rav Yavne Nezer, discusses the shaila about if a person has paralysis in his arm. His left arm is bechlal not functioning. Should we say that that's considered to be kemandalais? It's as if it doesn't exist. If it doesn't exist, so it's as if he only has one arm. So what would a person do only has a right arm? So according to most posts, he's popped from tefillin because he doesn't have a yad keya. He doesn't have a weaker hand. This is a strong hand. This is his only hand. So a person bechlal etzlan is missing a left arm. According to most posts, he doesn't put tefillin on altogether. There are some who say he puts it on the right arm. Some do that without a bracha to be choshish for that opinion. But while the mikra din, he doesn't have to put on tefillin. So what would the halacha be if a person technically has the left arm b'chlal is not functioning at all, is that considered to be asbet doesn't exist? So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes in a tshuva that he thinks we should draw the following distinction. It depends what we mean when we say that the arm is not functioning. So he says, if you have an arm that has lost all blood supply, now I guess the doctors will tell us if the arm has lost all blood supply, it's not going to be around for too long, or else he's not going to be around for too long. So that arm's not going to be physically connected. But lu yitzuya, that's connected for the next day, whatever the case may be. So if you have an arm that's bechlal, not mechuber to the rest of the body, that there's no blood flowing through that arm, so then Rav Moshe says he thinks that's considered to be kamandalei, so then it's not considered to be related to the rest of the body, it's as if it doesn't exist, and therefore one cannot fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin on that arm, and then one doesn't gain anything by putting tefillin on that arm that's about to be removed. Rav Moshe brings a raya, a fascinating raya from a Gemara Maseches Kedushin, it was L'daf Yomi from a couple of weeks ago. The Gemara says that there's a halacha when you bring an animal, there are tinim of hilchos mumim, that if an animal has certain blemishes, it's disqualified to be brought as a korban. But those halachas don't apply to a bird. We bring a bird as a korban, so it can have a mum, and it's not a problem. The only thing is, the Gemara says, we learn that from Sukkim, that if it's missing a limb, if the bird is missing its wing, it's missing a leg, it's missing something, it's mechusar eiver, so then it's for sure possible to be brought as a korban. So the Gemara quotes in Maseches Kedushin of all places, says, what if the wing is not actually missing, it's not physically removed, it's yavsha gapa, it's dried up. So the Gemara says that yavsha gapa is kaman dechasadami, it's considered as if it doesn't exist. So Rav Moshe says, oh, you see from there that if something is dried up, so now how do you define dried up? So Rav Moshe is defining dried up as meaning that it's not getting any blood anymore. So if it's dried up, it's yavsha gapa, so that's considered to be as if it's already detached. If it's already detached, so it doesn't exist, that's like a mechusar eiver. If it's a mechusar eiver for hilchos Professor Korbanos, so then it's called Mechuser Yad, Mechuser Arm, Filchus Tefillin, and it's like putting Tefillin on in the middle of the air, which of course would not be a mitzvah. This is Ramosh's, Ramosh didn't make up this idea, but he carried over this idea that early poskim had.
Going back to the one arm man, that's whichever arm you
do. No, so we'll say, no. If the person loses his right arm, so we can talk about that. We'll talk about that. If the person loses his right arm, what happens? Rav Moshe suggests that maybe this idea that if these poskim are right, that if an arm is totally not functioning, so it's as if it doesn't exist. So Rav Moshe says that would only be true in such a case where there's absolutely no blood flow. But what if you have a blood flow, the arm is there, it's going to remain there forever. It's just that it's not functioning because the person had a stroke. So Rav Moshe says that doesn't. I don't want to say anything halacha b'fnei rabba in front of the doctors. But to the best of my knowledge, so when the Rav Moshe himself writes in the tshuva, when the person has a stroke, the problem is not even in the arm, the problem is in the brain. So he says, what's wrong with the arm? The arm is perfectly good arm, it's just the person can't function because something happened in the brain. So Rav Moshe says he doesn't think that at all affects the chustvil, and therefore if a person has an arm that's totally paralyzed, his left arm is totally paralyzed, he doesn't think that that's going to affect Hilchos Tefillin at all, and therefore the person continues to put the Tefillin on the left arm. That was the Psak of Rav Moshe. It's interesting, really, totally as an aside, I don't want to get sidetracked with this because this could take us for a whole another whole shiur, but this idea that Rav Moshe develops that when blood flow is cut off, so that's considered to be as if it doesn't exist, based on the Sugya Masechus Kedushin, this became part of the brain death controversy discussion, because one could, if one takes that to the next level, so one could argue, well, forget about the arm being cut off of blood flow. What if you have a brain that's cut off from blood flow? So then you can argue, well, whatever is not functioning anymore in terms of not receiving any blood from the rest of the body, so that's considered to be as if it doesn't exist. So then technically, if a person is brain dead, well, if again, there are a few steps before that statement, but if a person is brain dead, and that's true, that there's absolutely no functioning anymore of the brain, if all that would be true, so then maybe one could argue the brain is kamandalais, it doesn't exist anymore. And what would that locha be if you have a person who doesn't have a brain? So maybe a person who doesn't have a, I don't mean doesn't have a brain, doesn't, no, you know what I mean. A person literally doesn't have a brain. There's a certain Rav who was very involved in brain death issues, so he used to always joke. He says, Akbam, all the Tamidim have my Shia all seem to be brain dead. So he said that, we'll leave out the details of that story. If a person literally doesn't have a brain, doesn't have a head, so then Lechori is dead. Lechori, that's by definition considered to be dead. So that would have some interesting impact on the brain death controversy. But again, we're going back to Lechos Tefillin, where Moshe has this chiluk. the Moshe, if I'm not mistaken, I think writes in the end of the tshuva that he, if I'm not mistaken, I think he writes about his own father, that his father had suffered a stroke in later years, and his father used to put on tefillin still on his left arm, even though his left arm bechlal wasn't functioning because of this distinction that even those poskim who say that the arm is bechlal not functioning, it loses its status as an arm. That wouldn't apply to a stroke based on the reason that we gave before. So now we're going to get in terms of the stroma. We're going to see how that plays out. So what would that halacha be in the flip side case? A person has two arms, and we know exactly which arm he puts the tefillin on. He puts the tefillin on his left arm, that's the weaker of the two. And then something happens to him later in life that his right side of his body now becomes something from the brain. Something happens to the left side of the brain, so it affects the right side of the body. So now his right side of his body is paralyzed. His right arm is paralyzed. So his right arm is no longer a stronger arm. He can't hold the pencil with the right arm. He can't write. He can't do anything with the right arm. So now he does everything with the left arm. So maybe one could have a tremendous chiddush. And maybe this person now puts on tefillin on his right arm, because for him it's been switched to what's called yad keah. Same what we said last week, that in theory, if you would really train a lefty to become a righty, and mamish ties his hand behind the back, and mamish force him to become a righty, so al pi halacha, he would become a righty. So a person, most of Rishonim assume that a person can theoretically switch in the middle of life from one to another. So what would the halacha be if he switched due to medical considerations? Would we say that in fact his arm now switches, and from here on in he has to put tefillin on his quote-unquote weaker of the two arms, and the arm that was affected by the stroke? So what would the halacha be about this? So here, many poskim say as follows. It's obvious that we wouldn't say such a svara if it's only a temporary type of a situation. Let's say, for example, a person broke his right wrist. So his arm's all tied up, he's in a cast for the next 6 weeks. So would you say, right now he can't do anything with his right hand, so his right hand just became the weaker hand, and now for the next 6 weeks he's got to put tefillin on his right arm? Would anybody say that? I don't think anybody would say that. The reason is obvious, that when do we say that people switch arms back, that you can become from a righty to a lefty, that means if the switch is permanent, but if it's just a couple of weeks, it's a temporary switch, so that's not called switching. It's basically you're still considered to be a righty. You're a righty with a technical problem for the next couple of weeks. So, l'chora, the answer to the stroke question should be the same thing. Namely, how permanent is the damage? Are there any real chances for recovery that the person may actually become a quote-unquote a righty again? So, I remember several years ago, it was Maisa Joya, somebody actually asked me the Shaila L'Maisa. So I remember I spoke to Rabbi Willig about this, and this was basically the Haggadah that he told me, was that he thought it depends on how realistic it is that the person may actually regain strength. So if the situation is that it seems to be, again, to the best of medical knowledge, hopeless, that Nisim always happen, but I'm saying the way the doctors and the therapist, everybody sizes up the situation now, they don't think that this person's ever going to regain anything in his right side. So then he thought the halacha mikra din is that the person really has become transformed to now become a lefty, and they should actually start putting tefillin on the right arm. If there's any hope that's out there, any realistic glimmer of hope that the person may be able to regain strength, so then he thought the person is like the person who broke their arm, and they're still considered to be whatever they were beforehand. It's a very, very difficult psak to implement, because the last thing you want to tell a person is that they gave up hope on him. So remember that particular case that I was involved in, so it was an older gentleman who the shaila happened to. He was a righty, and then he had a stroke affected his right side. And, the therapist was still, they were still hopeful. They were saying that, yeah, hopefully he'll regain his strength to some degree. So I told him to keep filling on the same way he was doing all these years. He shouldn't be misyayish. He should, Anyway, Lamais, at the end of the story, Lamais, he was nifter before the question reached its conclusion. But that was based on that particular psak.
We refer to an arm being weak, but in truth, there are situations where a hand could be weak, but an arm's not. So, for example, there are certain neuropathies, weaknesses of the arms, where the arm here is totally fine, but the hand is weak. So when we talk about weakness of an arm, we're speaking about the muscles that where the tefillin lies over, the biceps?
I don't think so. I think the ability for the hand to do things.
The hand,
to
write. If you have a weak hand, like if you have carpal tunnel syndrome, you can't write. If it's very involved, you won't be able to work your hand at all, but your arm here is totally normal.
Right, but I don't think that makes a difference, because Lamais, you can't do malacha, because the two drushes were ksiva and malacha.
Right,
I think so. Right, I think so. Okay, so let's try to move on now to the next more cheery topic than we're talking about. Try to move on to the next issue in terms of echus tefillin, and that's the zman of tefillin. When is the correct time to put on tefillin? So there's an interesting question that the Acharonim discuss, which at first glance, when you hear the shayla, you think, "Oh, would anybody ever say such a thing?" So I'm going to throw out a question that people might think sounds like a very firm statement. But is there a mitzvah to put on tefillin every day? So, sounds like a strange question. Is there really a mitzvah? Where does it say in the Chumash? You have to put in tefillin every day. The Torah says, "Ukshatim." They all say, "Adef." So we know there are a lot of mitzvahs that the Torah gives us that don't apply necessarily every day of one's life. When Moshe, the Torah says, there's a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. So that means every day after a new Sefer Torah. It's a new, the Torah says there are some mitzvahs that are once in a lifetime. There are some mitzvahs that are once a year. There are some mitzvahs that are once a week. You make Kiddush once a week. There are some mitzvahs like Kriya Shema twice a day. So when the Torah says, what does it mean? The Torah, Shebech Sav, doesn't give us any guidelines in terms of what the timing of the mitzvah is. So the Rishonim don't even talk about it explicitly. The Acharonim, the later Acharonim, the Mishnah Berurah quotes of Sa'as Sofik and Machlekes Acharonim, what exactly is the mitzvah of tefillin in HaTorah? So there are some Acharonim who say the mitzvah of tefillin is like the way we think it is, once a day, every day. It means when it's understood, when the Torah says to do a mitzvah and doesn't spell out a specific time, so we figure out on our own, that means every day. The Torah wants a person to put on tefillin once a day, every day, that's the mitzvah of tefillin. For how long every day? So, doesn't say. Stumble for a second is good enough. For a minute is good enough. You just put it on, but like some minyanim, you know. So yeah, it's in the mitzvah. That's it. That's what some acharonim say, and other acharonim say no. That there really is no mitzvah once a day, every day. The mitzvah of tefillin is whenever you're wearing tefillin. It's cold.
The whole
year, ice. What?
The whole year, ice.
Oh, we're going to talk about how Shabbos plays a role. We're going to tell you how that breaks up, how that may break up the mitzvah of tefillin in a moment. But in terms of the basic format of the mitzvah, some acharonim say the mitzvah is all the time, whenever, I mean, putting aside Shabbos and Yom, all the time, whenever, kol zman you wear tefillin, the more the merrier. So it's not necessarily linked to any specific day. According to those acharonim, you'd have an interesting shot. What would it be if a person has two options? He can either put on tefillin for the next 3 days for 1 second each. He's only going to have mamash a second to put the tefillin on. Or he has the other option. Sunday's got a lot of time. He could wear his tefillin for 5 hours on Sunday, but he won't be able to wear the tefillin on Monday and Tuesday at all. What should he do? So according to the first group of acharonim, he has to put them on each day because there's a separate, independent mechayev. Each day you wake up in the morning, that's a mechayev of putting on tefillin. So it's better to do that than to have the tefillin on for 5 hours on one day and not to have them on it all the other days. Masha'enket, according to the other group of acharonim, no, it's all a question of time. So it's better to have tefillin on for 5 hours, even though it's all on the same day, and forget Monday and Tuesday. So you won't wear tefillin on Monday and Tuesday. So we usually don't assume that way. Usually, I'm in the giz, like the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Prima Gadim, we assume that there is a chiyuv actually every single day. One shouldn't walk away from the shir and saying, did the rabbi just say he missed tefillin once in a while? No, the rabbi didn't say that. We paskin that there is a chiyuv every day, but it's not so pashut.
No, but I think you said you can make it up on a different day.
Oh, so that's.
No, seriously, in other words, the reason is I can't do it on Tuesday, can I do something on Monday?
Right, so that, until the Chor, that depends on this. So the Brisker Rav, they say from the Brisker Rav that towards the end of his life, the Brisker Rav was suffering, actually he actually died from a stomach cancer, intestinal cancer, something. So towards the end of his life, there were many days where he wasn't able to wear tefillin, because the halacha is a chalim ayai, a person can't control themselves, they're not permitted to wear tefillin. So there were many days where he wasn't able to wear tefillin. So they say from the Brisker Rav that the days that he felt better, so he would put on his tefillin for the amount of time, for the hours that he lost. Let's say if Sunday was sick and he missed his 45 minutes of davening, so on Monday he put his tefillin on for an hour and a half. Because he was chayshish, for those acharonim who say that it's not a daily thing. It's a sum total of amount of hours. The more the merrier. So he felt it was shtikl tashlumen. Moshe can go the other way, that it's each and every day, so then you don't really gain that much.
You don't lose it.
Yeah, for sure you don't lose.
The person says whatever.
Right, for sure you don't lose.
You should try to make it up, because right. There's no downside.
Right, right. Again, there's some mitzvahs where there is making up. Let's say a person missed Kriya Shema, so you don't really gain anything by making it up. There's no tashlumen. A person missed shaking lulav, so you don't shake lulav twice next sukkah. So you lost it. But tefillin may be subject to this idea that it may actually be worth it to put on the tefillin for extra later. Remember, I was...
So for the second you put it on,
yeah, some say that. The Prima Gadim writes that Minat Torah, the chiyuv is mamish 1 second. Anything after that is a kiyuma mitzvah. And that's a mitzvah kiyumus. Like the Wednesday night shirim, like the living in Eretz Yisrael. That's the extension. The ikar chiyuv is the 1 second.
So Rabbi, would we say we wear twice as much on Sunday because we wear on Shabbos?
Yeah, no, that much you don't have to go. I remember when I was a little kid, maybe it was a nursery, and it was a long time ago. So they wanted to like teach us something about a Sefer Torah, so they brought us in. I remember when I went to SAR, so it used to be in the River Dodger Center many, many moons ago. So they took us into the shul, and the old shamus at the time, he happened to have also been a sofer, so he like opened up the Sefer Torah, showed all the little kids what the Sefer Torah looks like, and then he took out a prayer tefillin and showed us like what a prayer tefillin is. I still remember this goes back almost 40 years ago. So I remember his words ringing in my ears. He said, "And listen, little boys," he said, "someday you're going to be bar mitzvah, and from then on, you have to put on tefillin every single day. And if you ever don't put on tefillin for 1 day, it's like you don't believe in Hashem. I remember that's what it says. I don't know where it says that exactly. But it's a kofar beloke Israel. I don't know. So I remember, like, I'm still shake. I still think that. I put on film today. Just that words of that old sham is still ringing. So when I got a little bit older, I realized that he held like the prima godim, that every single day. And if you go to the brisker roshtik, I'll tell you, wouldn't say that. It's not true. That if you don't put on film one day, it's not the end of the world. But I'm thinking it's like the prima godim, like the old sham is that you have to put on film every single day. There is a machlekes atanoim, whether one puts on tefillin at night or not. What's the issue? Whether one should be wearing tefillin at night? So the Gemara says it revolves around pshat and a posuk in Pashas Bo. V'shamartes ha-chukah zos l'mo adam yamim yamima. The Torah says you have to observe this chuk, observe this mitzvah, miyamim yamima. So one small technical problem is that when you read those psukim, you have no idea what the chukah is, because it's the end of Pashas Kadesh, but there were two different mitzvahs that were mentioned in Pashas Kadesh. The bulk of Pashas Kadesh is talking about Korban Pesach, and at the very end it talks about tefillin, and then at the very end it says, v'shamartes ha-chukah zos. So that's always a problem. It's like lahavda, when you write a sentence, so he, she, but you don't know who it's going back on. You have to get the right, you have to figure out who the, right, where's it go? What do you call that?
Modifier?
Yeah. But it's not a dangle, my friend. What is that? That's a not clear preposition. Is that a prepositional phrase? Is that what? Is that something like that? Whatever it is. I guess I remember more what the shamans told me in nursery than I remember what eighth grade English teacher told me. But whatever it is, you have to have a clear the pronouns. Got to be a clear what it's referring to. So here the Torah says, "V'shamarta sachuka hazos." Don't forget to observe this mitzvah. This who mitzvah? What mitzvah? Which mitzvah? It's not clear because the Torah spoke just immediately about two different mitzvahs. So this was the machlekes atanoim. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili understood the pasuk to mean that it's referring back to the immediately previous pasuk right before, which is speaking about tefillin. And the Torah is saying, don't forget, you have to observe the mitzvah of tefillin miyamim yamima. So what does that mean, miyamim yamima? So Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that means yamim v'lalelos. That means every day you have to wear tefillin, like people call them. Every day miyamim yamima, but v'lalelos, that you don't wear tefillin at night. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili's opinion was that therefore min ha-Torah laylos lavzman tefillin. So Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva says that's not pshat in the pasuk. Rabbi Akiva says that the pasuk is not even referring to tefillin. It's referring to Korban Pesach, which happens to be the main theme of that entire parsha. That don't forget, you have to observe the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, miyamim yamima. Now there, clearly, according to Rabbi Akiva, yamim yamima doesn't mean the same as it meant according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. You don't bring your Korban Pesach every day of the year. Yamim yamima there means once a year, like yamim tiagulaso. Yamim means yearly. So there's a double machlokis, Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva. What's pshat in the chukah? Which chukah are we talking about? Which led to a second machlokis as to what's pshat in the phrase miyamim yamima. But when all the dust settles, according to Rabbi Akiva, comes out, there is no pasuk in Chumash that's limiting the mitzvah of tefillin to the days and not to the nights. There's no such klal. So therefore the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Akiva, Laila is man tefillin, the minatari. You put on tefillin at night, you want to put on tefillin at night, you want to put on tefillin on day. It's the same thing according to Rabbi Akiva. There's no difference between the night and the day on a level of deraisa. Nevertheless, the Gemara says, even according to Rabbi Akiva, lemaisa you don't put on tefillin at night. Why not? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva is moda that midirabanan you don't put on tefillin at night, as a gezeirah, that the chamim were afraid that if you put on tefillin at night, you may fall asleep in the tefillin, you may fall asleep in the tefillin, that may lead to inappropriate things, and therefore, mishum gufnaki and other considerations, therefore the chamim prohibited one from wearing tefillin at night, but it's not minat Torah. Minat Torah you're allowed according to Rabbi Akiva. So l'chaor, it sounds like l'maisa it's not such a big machlokas. At the end of the day, if you come and ask a shayla, Rabbi, can I put tefillin on at night? The answer is no. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, it's minat Torah. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's minat Rabbanan. So what's the difference? So there's a big difference. So the Rishonim write, there would be a tremendous difference. What if you have a situation where the gezeira doesn't apply? Where the reason for the gezeira doesn't apply? There's no fear that the person may fall asleep. So we know that gezeiras, the Rabbanan, are always tricky in this manner. Some gezeiras derabbanan apply as low plugs under all circumstances, and some gezeiras derabbanan only apply when the reason itself applies. It's very hard to compare one gezeira to another. So here the Rishonim write that if you hold like Rabbi Yossi Aglili that Laila Minat Torah is not as man tefillin, so then forget it. There's no way under the sun, no pun intended, you can ever put on tefillin at night. It's not possible. It's not shaykh to put on tefillin at night. But if you hold like Rabbi Akiva that the ikaron, that fundamentally Laila is man tefillin, it's just a technical issa derabbanan that you may come to sleep in the tefillin, so one could conceive of a possibility, maybe one could actually wear tefillin at night under certain limited circumstances. What would those limited circumstances be? So Rabbeinu Peretz, one of the Balei Tosfos writes, Rabbeinu Peretz writes that what would the halacha be as follows? If a person is already up for the day, means the original case of not wearing tefillin at night, means it's 10 o'clock at night, don't put on tefillin now because you're going to get drowsy, you're going to fall asleep, and that's going to be inappropriate for the tefillin. But the guy already slept, he already slept 8 hours, it's now 4 o'clock in the morning, and he's ready and rearing to go, and he's not falling asleep anymore, he's had his cup of coffee ready, he's ready to go. So Rabbeinu Peretz says, so let him wear tefillin, what's the big deal? He can put on tefillin, make a bracha. For him, it's already, there's no fear of Gezeri Shema Yishon. If you would hold like the Rambam, if you'd hold like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that Laila's Lav Zman Tefillin, Legamre Minat Torah, so that if it's still Laila, Laila's not open until it's over. It doesn't matter whether you are up for the day, that would be a Din Minat Torah, you shouldn't wear Tefillin. But according to Rabbi Akiva, the Minat Torah, there's really nothing wrong with it, it's just Midrabban. One could argue, like Rabbeinu Peretz, if you're up for the day, then there's nothing to be concerned with. How do we paskin Lahaloch and the Shaila? So the Rambam happens to paskin like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. For some technical reason in the Sugya, the Rambam didn't accept Rabbi Akiva, the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and therefore, according to the Rambam, there's nothing to discuss. It's an open and shut case. You can't wear tefillin at night. Finished. End of discussion, because Laila's Lav Zman Tefillin Min HaTorah. But most of the Rishonim don't accept the Rambam. Even the Shulchan Aruch, who usually follows the Rambam and everything, here the Shulchan Aruch doesn't follow the Rambam. The Rambam was the Das Yochid. Most of the Rishonim say, no, we paskin halachor v'yakiva mechaveiro, and therefore we paskin that Minat Torah Laila is mantvillin. It's only a problem with the Rabbanon, and therefore under certain circumstances one could possibly wear tefillin at night. So this is the background to the Psach of the Shulchan Aruch and the Chus Tefillin that becomes very relevant for many people daven early. So the Shulchan Aruch says that in the Ikra Din we really paskin like Rabbeinu Peretz, that we paskin against the Rambam. We paskin that if a person is already up for the day, so then there's really nothing to be concerned with. The post came right, assuming that he's really not going to fall asleep. Depends if he's sitting in davening, drooping over, so then maybe the reason doesn't apply. But assuming the guy's really, some post can say he should stand up when he davens, make sure he doesn't. I mean, sometimes people fall asleep when they're standing up also, but it's less likely. So, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that Me'ikra didn't like Rabbeinu Peretz, that the whole issue of not wearing tefillin at night is only Midrabban and Gzer Shem Yishon, and if the person is up for the day and there's nothing to be concerned with, so then technically speaking it would be Mutter. So says the Shulchan Aruch, Afal Pichein, you shouldn't make a bracha. Is it make a bracha, still? We're not 100% sure this whole Shtikl Torah is right. So the Shulchan Aruch says you should put the tefillin on Balayla, it's okay, if you have to put tefillin on Balayla, and then you wait till it gets light out, in a half hour or so, whenever this man of tefillin is, whatever that is. So then you recite the bracha at that point. But in terms of the Etzem HaNoch, the Shulchan Aruch says, Mikra, then we really do pass like Rabbeinu Peretz. So Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva that that which the Shulchan Aruch says, that you should wait to the bracha until the time comes. So he says, Mistama, that means if there's a possibility to wait till the time. Because really, Mikra, then we do accept Rabbeinu Peretz. We don't accept the Rambam. So Mikra, then we hold you can really make a bracha now. It's just the Shulchan Aruch saying, Mios Tov, if you have an option to make a bracha later, make it later. Says Rav Moshe, what if you don't have that option? What if you're going to have to take your tefillin off before this man comes? So you're going to put the tefillin on mamash in the middle of the night, and you're going to take them off before whatever the beginning of his man tefillin is. So Rav Moshe says, so you're going to tell the guy not to make a bracha b'chlal? So Rav Moshe says, the Shulchan Aruch never said that. The Shulchan Aruch just said, don't make a bracha when it's so early, because you can keep him on for another half hour and you make the bracha right before you take him off. But if that option is not available to you, so then you make the bracha now and finished. You follow the Ikra Din like Rabbeinu Peretz. That was a Tshuva Rav Moshe. That became a very famous psak in 1974. Those who remember from the oil embargo, from when they started the daylight savings times in the middle of February or something, like they're getting closer. Every year they're creeping, Congress is pushing it back and back to those days of President Ford. But in 1974, I was 9 years old then, so I remember that was the big tumult, that all the minyanim, everything was off base, because Nates in those days was 8:30 in the morning. So for those couple of weeks, Nates Achama. So I remember years later in Yeshiva, they used to joke about the only minyan that davened Kedas Chodin was the 8:30 minyan. All the other minyanim were davening before Zman, they were at 8:30, everyone had to be very firm, had to come to the 8:30 minyan. So the 8:30 minyan, 8:30 is Nates, that means you can't start Shacharis Lechatchila till 8:05 in the morning. It's good for the Vasikin, man. But for people who have to go to work, so that's Shaykh, guys are davening at 6 in the morning. So there's a lot of problems with brachas and kriyas shema tefillah. There are a lot of hilchos tefillah problems that are very, very big issues. But one of the big issues then was hilchos tefillah. A guy wants to put on tefillah at 6 o'clock in the morning. It's mamash in the middle of the night. So what do you do? So Rav Moshe wrote in a tshuva. Maybe he could put the tefillah on later in the afternoon in his office if he's not going to forget. Okay, that's one option. But it's very hard. We don't want to start telling people to do that. A guy's going to forget to put on tefillah the whole day. And according to the Shabbos, he was kofer b'alokei Yisrael. So we don't want to give that option. option. So we want the guy to put on tefillin in the morning, but how can he make a bracha? So Rav Moshe said he can make a bracha, because even though he's going to take the tefillin off before the zman, he can still make a bracha, because mikra, then we pass, and you're allowed to put tefillin on at night as long as you're up for the day.
Technically, in the winter, someone could wear tefillin at 6 o'clock at night also, right? Because at 6 o'clock at night, they're not
proposing. Yeah, and so it's interesting that that idea didn't exist in the days of the Rishonim, because before Edison, before electric lights, so then 6 o'clock in the evening, that was B'shach B'cha, the first Sugyan Brachas, when it gets dark, so you go to sleep. People go to sleep at 5 o'clock at night. So you're right, in theory, according to the way our world has progressed, so you're not going to fall asleep at 6 o'clock. Maybe, but...
So in situations where there's that certain part of the year, like just we just had, where it's very hard to dive in, Bisman, you have to dive in sometime, and you're stuck if you're going to work early to dive in too early. But I've never seen a minyan like that people put the tefillin on before the talis. In theory, though, it's better to at least have your tefillin on, even though it's not quite daytime, rather than davening most of davening without the tefillin on. How come people don't do that?
I don't know. I think they probably should do that.
They're different.
It could be you can put the talis on also. It could be when we get to chassidus. Could be you can put the talis on also. It's not so funny.
Chapter 7, I asked him about that. Yeah. He said you should put talis and tefillin on without a bracha beforehand.
Talis too.
Yeah.
He said he doesn't like the concept of putting on
before baruch.
To have
sick.
Right.
And make the bracha afterwards. You have to
shmoneh
esrei. Right, that's what I tell people. We'll get to that in a little bit. And we'll get to today and next week. That's what I basically tell people to do also. I didn't know the Baruch Shekivant, I didn't know the Rabbi Shekhar said that. It's also, I think that's the easiest, that's the cleanest eights of all the eights to do. Anyway, so getting back to the story. So this Pesach of Rabbi Isha that became famous in 1974, so the truth is that was already a precedent for this Pesach, and a much more tragic type of a situation. This discussion appears in Rav Oshri's Tshuvas. Rav Oshri wrote the famous Tshuvas during the Holocaust, and the Kovno Ghetto, if I'm not mistaken. So one of the shadows that he discussed was this issue, that sometimes the Jews were able to chop around a pair of tefillin, to be able to put on tefillin for a second before they would have to go out to work in the camps. So, but it was usually in the middle of the night, so 3 o'clock in the morning. So the question was, should we tell people to do this? Again, in terms of pure halachic reason, should we tell people to put on tefillin 3 o'clock in the morning for a second and to make a bracha? So Rav Oshri said yes, and Mamash the same as Rav Oshri says. He says that because we really paskin that once you're up already, Nebuch, there was a tragedy. Guy's up at 3 o'clock, the Nazis are waking him up ready to work, so he's not going back to sleep that day. So at 3 o'clock in the morning, even though it's technically the middle of the night, so he said he could still put on tefillin and he should make a bracha. He's going to take the tefillin off before this man, he's taking him off in a second later, so it doesn't matter. So we paskin halacha l'maaseh against the Rambam, against Rabbi Yosef Halevi, and therefore he should recite a bracha on the tefillin, even though it's mamash in the middle of the night. So that the Pesach of Rav Moshe that was the response to the 1974 issues was in effect a restating of the earlier Pesach that was given under the more tragic consequences. Oh yeah, on the lower side. Okay. Sure. So I guess Achan already brought the topic, so we might as well just finish up the topic in terms of the people who have to dive in early. So this is what sets up a situation where the situation is not as bad as it was in the days of Moshe, where a person can start to dive in and eventually he will reach this man. So the question is, what's the option? What's the eights that a person should do? So the minyan has to start at 6 o'clock. And the earliest man, whatever that earliest man is, so I keep on saying that with a lot of hesitation in my presentation, when the earliest man is. And when is the earliest man? So Misha Yakir. So when is Misha Yakir? So it depends who you ask. When Misha Yakir is, there are different opinions about this. Rav Moshe had a certain objective shiur of Misha Yakir, and others had more subjective shiur, depending on the different times of the year. So it's somewhere from 45 to an hour, or 45 minutes to an hour, be'erach, before Netzacham. It's hard for me to be Mechariah the Shaila. But whatever the particular zman of Misha Yakir is, a person has to start davening before that. So what options are available for them? So one possible option, and many people do, is they won't put on the tefillin. With tzitzis, talis will get to, hopefully we'll talk about tzitzis. But some people, they won't put on the tefillin, that's it. It's Laila, we're not going to put on the tefillin now. We'll put on the tefillin later. So when they can put on the tefillin later, so in the middle of Pesach HaZimri, you're not really supposed to speak, so they'll pick that punk, that time in the davening, when it's less of a problem in terms of a hefsek, between right after Yishtabach, between Yishtabach and Kaddish, like when you would say Shem HaLos, be Mamakim, right punk at that point, which is the least problematic time of hefsek. Doesn't mean under normal circumstances you're allowed to talk then, but under these Shas HaTchak circumstances, maybe one would be permitted to to make a bracha at that point. So that would be one possible option for a person to do. Another option would be is that let them put the tefillin on beforehand, like we said, Ramin Peretz, Mikra, then you're allowed to put the tefillin on beforehand, and then make a bracha at a later point. So what's the later point to make the bracha? So in theory, you can make the bracha after Yishtabach also. The question is, why bother? Why should you make a bracha then? If you're already making the bracha after you put the tefillin on, which Be'ikra then is good anyway, so wait till after the Shemoneh Esrei, when you finish davening, so then it's not a problem at all to talk. I don't mean that literally. It means obviously for Sikas Chulin, you're never supposed to talk in the middle of davening, but maybe the rest of the day also, but that's another story. But clearly, under these circumstances, Lafiani is that the best thing to do is like Chanan said before, that you put the tefillin on normally in the morning without a bracha, and when you get to the after davening, after Shmoneh Esrei, so you make a bracha, you touch the tefillin a little bit in the shayat, a little bit sharosh, and then it's shoyin, and then one technically speaking fulfills that halacha properly.
Why would that be better? I mean, isn't
Ovelas Yosin? No, so you're not going to get Ovelas Yosin anyway. You mean if you wait till the middle of between Kaddish and before Kaddish, you can do a real Ovelas Yosin.
Yeah.
So the Rambam writes that's also called Ovelas Yosin because tefillin is a mitzvah nimshecha since the mitzvah continues. So it's like by tzitzis. We do it all the time. Most married men, when they put on their talis katan in the morning, do not recite a bracha. They recite the lisatif but tzitzis on the talis god. Well, that part is the talis katan also. So you put on your talis katan for 20 minutes to get to shul, and you didn't make a bracha on it. No, that's also called avalas yasin. Since 20 minutes later, you're going to make the bracha, and tzitzis is also a continuation of a mitzvah. That's not considered to be the end of the world. So the same is true by tefillin as well. There was another issue that was in a sense a corollary of this machlokas between Rabbi Yosef Glil and Rabbi Akiva. Had a little shot on the pasuk of Vishamartas Achuk Hazos. Rabbi Yosef Glil said that since this pasuk is referring to tefillin, and the Torah says miyamim yamima, miyamim is a miyut, comes to exclude certain days of the year, miyamim velo kol yamim, that there are certain days of the year that one does not wear tefillin. What are the days of the year one does not wear tefillin? So Rabbi Yosef Glil says the special days of the year. So what are the special days? Shabbos and Yom Tov. Those are special days. Those are not routine, regular, ordinary days. So there's no mitzvah tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. This is Rabbi Yosef Glil's opinion. So then the Gemara asks, according to Rabbi Akiva, who didn't derive from this pasuk that it has anything to do with tefillin. So according to Rabbi Akiva, would you wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So the Gemara actually quotes Tutanoim, who said, yes, Tutanoim, who said, if you go with Rabbi Akiva's understanding that Miyam Yamim is not referring to tefillin, so then there's no mokr to exclude Shabbos and Yom Tov from tefillin. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda held that minat Torah, you have to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov also. So the Gemara says, we don't pass like them. The Gemara says Rabbi Akiva himself didn't pass like them. Rabbi Akiva was the Rebbe. Rabbi Akiva himself is quoted as saying in a braisa that even though I hold miyamim yamima doesn't indicate anything about tefillin, there's another pasuk that says you don't wear tefillin in Shabbos and Yom Tov. Uksharatim liyosa yadecha yatu shabbosos yom tovim sheinatzman os. The Shabbos and Yom Tov are considered to be signs themselves, and therefore there's no need for an additional sign of tefillin, and therefore there's no mitzvah of tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So it comes out there are really three different possibilities about tefillin and Shabbos and Yom Tov. Rabbi Yosef Glil excludes tefillin and Shabbos and Yom Tov from miyamim velo kol yamim. Rabbi Akiva excludes it from yatzu shabbosos yom tovim sheinatzman kruin os. And Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda said, it's not true. The taka not excluded. You taka do it tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So of course we paskin l'halacha, not like Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda, and we don't really pass like Rabbi Yosef Glil. We pass in the middle ground like Rabbi Akiva. So we pass in Lamaisa, we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, min haTorah. But the reason is based on oath, that it's not considered to be an oath. That's the drasha that we accept. The Rishonim have it's like a pshat a little bit. It's not really a halachic statement. The Rishonim already have this like little drasha that say that, well, why is it that you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Because you already have an oz, because it says in the Chumash, Apishnayim Eidim Yakum Dover, that you only need two Eidim, you only need two ozels for something. So every male Jew has his oz of bris milah, that's Bahayla oz bris min yavenechem. So he always has the oz of bris milah with him. So every day of the year he needs another oz. So on a weekday he's lacking an oz, he needs an eid sheni, he needs a second eid. So he's got to have the mitzvah tefillin to back up the oz of bris milah. that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, where you don't have that. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, you already have an os. You have the pre-existing os of Shabbos and Yom Tov, so then you don't need the mitzvah of tefillin. So you have already a shnei edim, as it says in the Rishon Mederach Drush. So the Truma Sedeshin was asked the following question: if that's true, that it's based on a pishnayim edim yachum dover, what if you have a guy who doesn't have a bris milah, a guy who's sick, a guy whose brothers died from having a bris, he never had a bris, so a new chiddush, he's got to wear tefillin on Shabbos because he's missing a second os. So Truma Sedeshin joked, he says, you have to know the difference. He didn't use these words, but I'll use these words. You have to know the difference between a sermon on Shabbos morning and a halacha shiur Shabbos afternoon. That means not everything you say in a drush is binding la halacha. It's a nice drush. It doesn't mean anything up yalacha. Up yalacha, the din is that yatsu shivas is yom tov shein atzmin kurin. This idea that there's some kind of a connection between tefillin and milah, that the two osas, they go together, this is part of the reason why the minig is that at a bris, so the correct thing to do is to keep one's tefillin on. But if you didn't daven that minion, you're not mechuv to go put your tefillin on. But if you daven that minion, so you're really supposed to keep your tefillin on until after the bris. Not just the people who are going to get the brachas and the sandags and everything. Everyone's really supposed to keep the tefillin on. A lot of people aren't aware of that minig, or sometimes it's hard to follow that minig because people are running out the door. But if one has time, one is able to, so that's the more correct custom that the early post can quote, based on this idea that bris and tefillin are connected somewhat to one another. So al kopalim la'alacha, we pass in the Shabbos and Yom Tov, one does not wear tefillin. And of course, this opens up for us the highly charged topic, which we'll have to speak about more next week, and that's the issue of Chol HaMoed. Does one wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed or not? So the question really boils down to a very simple question. Is Chol HaMoed an os or it's not an os? If Chol HaMoed is an os, then there's no tefillin. If Chol HaMoed is not an os, so then there should be tefillin. So we'll have to see hopefully next week what the issues are, what the pros and cons of that are.